listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, look at what God can do when we are tired. What strikes me about this fantastic lesson of Jesus calling his disciples is that he does it in the morning after a sleepless, fruitless, hopeless night. Did you catch that? Peter was ready to pack up and go home. No energy, no fish, no hope. And that's precisely when Christ shows up, sends him back out, and calls him, actually, into new mission fields. Look at what God can do when we're tired. At the end of our rope, without direction or energy, hopeless, fruitless, even sleepless. That's precisely when Christ shows up and sends us back out and into new mission. This is our God. So what task is God calling you into now? What task is God calling us here at Bethlehem into now? No matter your age, no matter your status, no matter how long you have been at this already, now, after a sleepless night, when we're wiped out, exhausted, frustrated, angry, ready to give up, throw in the towel, now is when Christ appears in our midst and says, try this. Try something new. Go deeper, he says in the text today. Go deeper. Come and follow me. Friends, Jesus meets us in our grayness. When the clouds are heavy, and the days and the years and our faces are long, just as we're about to throw in the towel, give up, sell out, isolate ourselves from others, just as we're really getting frustrated with each other or the world around us, just as we're about to close the door, blow out the candle, Jesus shows up and says, hey, go back out there. Go a little deeper. This has always been seen as a text about vocation. You know that word? Martin Luther talked about how we all have vocations, not just religious type people. We all have vocations. And then the theologian Frederick Buechner said that the vocation, it's a wonderful term, vocation is the intersection where our deep gladness meets the world's deepest need. Vocation is where your greatest joy, what you love to do the most, intersects with what the world needs the most. That's how you find what your vocation is. Go a little deeper, Jesus says. But sometimes, our great passions, our deep joys, deep gladnesses can get squelched. The saddest stories, I think, in my life are stories of loved ones in my life who never did follow their deep gladness, perhaps never did find their vocation. Because someone told them that, well, that was stupid. Or it was a waste of time. Or it was too daunting a task for them ever to really realize. It was too lofty a goal or a calling. I actually had a friend in college that wanted to study marine biology. She loved fish. She loved those little creatures under the ocean, in the ocean, under the water. And she had parents, however, that didn't think it would probably yield the most successful lifestyle and really just encouraged her. They didn't tell her she couldn't, but they encouraged her strongly to take business as a major. Nothing wrong with business, but it wasn't her heart's deepest delight. And she did that. Or another family member who always wanted to be a nurse and take care of sick children. She was even mocked by her husband, actually, saying that her dream was too expensive, she'd never be able to even pass the first class. She should just let it go. Isn't that sad? Passions, deep gladness, even callings can be squelched. Friends in Christ, Jesus finds us just as he found Peter in that moment of squelch. Sometimes it's our own shadow voices, the negative self-talk that crushes us. Often we squelch ourselves by all that talk in our own heads. Peter, I'm sure, was feeling that way. I'm sure he was feeling pretty squelched, pretty empty. I wonder what he was saying to himself in those wee morning hours after trying to catch fish all night. And Christ shows up then, tells him to try something a little different, and it filled the nets. Christ is our hope. Jesus sends us and calls us to try again, try something new, try going deeper, Jesus says. When we go deeper, we discover even more. We find ourselves on a path sometimes that we've never dreamed. Look at what God can do when we're tired. See, this is what I both love and I hate about this text. Because it's not just about following our own dreams. It's not what I'm saying here. It's not what Jesus is saying. Our own dreams might be well and good, or they might be misguided. That's not vocation, our own dreams. Vocation is about God's voice. The word vocation, it literally means calling, right? From the Latin vocare, which is just to say that there's got to be a caller when we talk about vocation here. Someone directing us, someone nudging us, someone beckoning us, someone vocationing us. Do this, do this. Who is doing the calling in your life? Where is that vocation coming from? Is it from your own heart? Is it your parents? Is that what's calling you, beckoning you? Is it your legislators or your recruiters? Is it your friends? Sometimes God works through all of those, by the way. Maybe it's other people, other experiences. But ultimately, it is Christ Jesus who calls us. And we remember that this day. And he's not just saying, hey, whatever you want to do, whatever you need, just follow your passion, follow your dreams. It's not just that. I wish it was. Rather, just like in the passage for today, Jesus is asking us to look at something in a new way. To maybe stir from our drowsiness, our fatigue, and our despair to tasks and adventures that we never even imagined. It's not just about following our dreams. It's about following God's dream. Reflect on what that means this week. What is God's dream? What does God dream about for us and for this world? Probably don't have to think too long about what that means. But go a little deeper, discovering and living into God's dream. That's where we're called again this day. In all our fatigue, in all our frustration, after long nights, we are called into this profound, challenging, joy-filled, and at the same time, frankly, life-threatening call to follow Jesus. We are called into that call. Catching fish was a little bit dangerous. Everybody knows that. It was a rough profession. Catching people, that is preaching the gospel with our words and even more importantly with our actions, proclaiming release to those who are locked up in all kinds of ways, recovery of sight to those who can't see clearly, forgiveness to those who deem themselves unforgivable. Remember all those things that Jesus laid out 2 weeks ago in his inaugural address? Catching fish is a little bit dangerous. Catching people? Well, you might just wind up face to face with the powers of this world. Just like John the Baptist or Jesus himself. Going deeper is not without risk. My dream is to live comfortably, peacefully. Christ maybe is calling us into something different. So, who's in? All right. Some of you maybe have seen the movie Jerry Maguire. I love that. He says, "Who's coming with me?"
Me.
When he leaves his company. Nobody. Nobody responds. Who's coming with me?
I do.
All right. I love it. Thank you, John. What strange waters or strange lands is Christ vocationing us into this new week, this new season, this new year? Because God is calling once again. It's good to gather together on Sunday morning, have some peace, so we can hear that call as we join together in scripture, in music, in prayers. I shared before a little bit of my journey to Rome 2 years ago, a trip to Rome to study early Christian sites. I tell you, it just changed my life. It sort of colored my faith in a really exciting way. I see things sort of differently because I've been to some of those places where Christianity really struggled. I mean, sometimes we feel like we're a small congregation, a small group. I mean, they were gathering in little tiny circles underground, and they were under threat of the empire. It was powerful. One day, we went out to the south part of the city, in the Via Appia, which is the southern gate that goes into Rome from the south. It's this beautiful gate, and it's this cobblestone road, and you go down there, and there was a catacomb down there that we were visiting. But as we're walking along the Appian Way, we came across this little chapel, and it was called Quo Vadis Chapel. Quo Vadis, from the Latin. It means, where are you going? Where are you going, chapel? So many stories and legends are passed down. They're not in our scriptures, but they're passed down, the oral tradition. You know, and one of these legends is that Quo Vadis Chapel was put up to remember this story. It's not in the scripture, but this wonderful story about St. Peter, who's in our text today. St. Peter, after the resurrection, St. Peter encounters the risen Christ on the Appian Way, south of Rome, which is where he meets Jesus, and he says, "Lord, Quo Vadis, where are you going?" And the risen Christ says to him, "I'm going to Rome. Because there are people who are hungry, there are mouths that need to be fed, there are people who are sick, people that need to be cured, there are people who haven't heard this good word of freedom, who haven't had their eyes opened." St. Peter says, "Lord, I can't bear it to lose you again. I'll go." And so Peter then enters into the city of Rome, and we all know that Peter was executed in Rome, doing the things that Christ had modeled, that Christ had called him into. And so this chapel goes up to remember Peter's following. He knew how dangerous it was, and yet Peter went anyway. This may be where Christ calls you, into dangerous places, into frightening places. This cross goes out into places we don't always want to go, but it takes us into a deeper life, a fuller love, a more complete vocation. It's God's dream, remember, not yours. And that, frankly, is the greatest joy. I mean, can you imagine if Peter had never left his nets? I'll just keep fishing. What would he have missed? This is a challenging text once again, but this is a good day. This is a good week. It is a hopeful moment, even in the midst of our fatigue and our anguish and anxiety. This is a good day, for friends, Christ himself stands on the shore of our lives and bids us come and follow. Christ himself stands on the edge. That is really not in the center of things. I'd like to think that this is all in the center, but this is kind of at the edge of our week. Maybe the church is kind of at the edge of your life. I mean, take it or leave it. But Christ is there on the edge, and he calls us into this new journey. He stands there on the shore and bids us, "Let go. Come and follow me. Put those other things down. Today is a good day, for Christ Jesus stays with us now, fills our nets, and loves us into a new and even more expansive vocation." Friends, Jesus loves us into God's dream. Amen.
behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical?
That was terrible.
To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.